Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and I am the host of Tough Talk Christian Radio that is produced through the Tough Talk Radio Network. For those that follow the show every week, welcome back. And for the new people, well, we're just blessed to have you on board today. We're coming to you live out of Houston, Texas, and we do this every Wednesday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, one of the things that I get charged up about is being able to interview people from all across the country and around the world that have had different experiences with God, with Christ, and the challenges that they faced in their lives, so that when you hear them, you'll be able to understand how you too can make your way through it, how you can make all your mistakes, get them out of the way, and make the turn, pivot your way into a new direction, and be able to follow more of the gospel. So before we bring Grace up on the show, I just want to talk about a couple of things. One is you can find us on toughtalkradionetwork.com. If you want to be a guest on the show, share what you're doing through the Lord, you can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com, click on Tough Talk Christian Radio, and then click the button that says schedule to be a guest and pick a day to fit your schedule the best. You can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. If you just type it in Google, you'll be able to connect with us, and we're always looking to connect with new people, only because I have found that every new person I meet is an opportunity to learn a new story about what the Lord is doing or not doing in people's lives. So this weekend past, I had the extreme pleasure of going to Springfield, Missouri. I know, I never thought I'd go there either because I didn't even know what was there. But I was at the University of Missouri. There next to the college campus is an arena called the JQH Arena. And I was there with 8,400 other men for a two-day conference, Stronger Men's Conference, and it was awesome. It was incredible to see 8,400 men in a building for 2 days straight, packed out. We had speakers like Louis Giglio and John Gray and Craig Rochelle. And they had football players from the Philadelphia Eagles, which, you know from Philadelphia. I was excited about that, talking about, you know, how they praise the Lord and the strength that they've gotten to go through the battles that they do. And also they had MMA fighters, and that was probably one of the funniest things I ever seen. I'm not a real big MMA fight fan, but to see them whoop up on somebody in a ring and then give the glory to God, well, it was just kind of, it was different, but it was awesome. I got to meet men from all across the country. And, you know, I actually signed up for next year's event because at the last day, the last hour of the last day, there was only 500 tickets left out of the 8,400 sold. So, incredible thing. I look forward to it. And, you know, I actually came home and told my wife I need to do that at least every other month, if not every 3 months, because it really charged me up, folks. It was really an awesome opportunity to be away from my business, away from my phone, away from my city, away from my family, and just be in the presence of God and men I've never met, and watching them, you know, just serve the Lord, just be served by the people speaking there. So it was an awesome, awesome opportunity. So anyway, if you ever get the chance to do that, the men out there, I know we have a lot of women listening too. My wife is the one that signed me up for this conference way back in February. So take a leap of faith and do it for your husband. And you might like the results. Anyway, so once again, you want to call into the show, 347-989-1363 to listen. You can dial that number, 347-989-163, and press 1 to ask questions to the guest. And you could also email us at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. So without wasting any more time, I'm excited to bring up Grace Gibbons, who lives now in Pennsylvania, originally from New York. She has been married for 7 years and has 5 children and 1 on the way. And I have to say, I think Grace is a pretty busy lady. So without wasting any more time, Grace Gibbons, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Gambone. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's always exciting to bring people up on the show, learn more about them, and see what's going on in their life. So before we get into the meat of the conversation, I mentioned that you're in Pennsylvania. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Long Island, New York, Suffolk County. I was, born and raised there, lived there my whole life until last year, August. We moved here with my husband and our 5 children.
So, you're in Pennsylvania. All your family's in New York. How is that transition from moving from one state to the other?
It was difficult because for the past few years, we had, decided that, with our calling, we believed by God to be open to life and to have many children. We knew living in New York, it just wasn't going to be possible. It was just so expensive and very liberal. School district's not so great. So we had decided to start looking around in Pennsylvania, and we vacationed for a few years in a row in Lehigh Valley. And we kind of just fell in love with, the aura of Pennsylvania. It was very different groups of people. And then we started house hunting, and we saw 7 homes, and the last home was the one that we chose. And it was a difficult transition with the 5, but we're very happy that we did it.
Now, how old are your children, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, boy. No, not at all. They are 7, 6, 5, 3, and 1.
Wow. Okay. You must stay very busy.
Yes, I am very busy, Mom. I also homeschool my children. I homeschool all of them, which was a decision we decided to make because we wanted their education to be grounded in the faith and the love of God and the relationship that they should have with Christ. And we knew that the best way we could do that was doing it from home because we had tried the public schools. We had tried private Catholic school. And it just wasn't for us. So we're very happy doing that. We get to see them grow and love the Lord and share that with each other and the world. So it was the best decision we've ever made as parents.
Okay, so every guest sends in or they fill out some questions and different things here. And I'm looking this over, and one of the topics that you wanted to talk about is dating without Christ and domestic violence and how it taught you to love God and yourself, which helped you to find the perfect husband.
Right. I started dating around, I think I was about 18, 19 years old with a particular guy. I had known him since I was about 12. And I was forbidden to date. I wasn't allowed to date until I was, 18. And that was my opportunity, and we started to date. And it was over a year or so I started to notice a decline in the relationship in terms of his behavior and his relationship towards me. There was definitely an absence of Christ between us. He did not come from a Catholic background like I did. And I ended up sacrificing my morals and the things that I held dear to be with this man. And this lasted for a period of 10 years. And he was very violent. I was raped a couple of times. He was violent physically, cheated on me often. And I never used Christ as my refuge. I just felt because I was so deep in my fallenness that I knew, I really believed that there was no way that I could return to him because I felt shame and guilt and all sorts of emotions. And so I just felt deeper and deeper and deeper away to where I had no self-esteem. I felt very lonely. I lost lots of friends. I lost my family. And it was for what? For what? And this was a relationship that never came to fruition of anything good. It was just a very sick, disturbed, evil, so-called love that we had between each other. And I just kind of didn't even believe in myself anymore that I could ever be happy, that he had now set the precedent for the rest of my life, that this is what it was always going to be in terms of dating. So I became very discouraged and and lonely and afraid, and I became a recluse. I didn't really want to engage outside of that world that he had exposed me to. And I was full of fear for a very, very, very long time. And it wasn't until I attended Ave Maria University in Florida from 2004 to 2006, where I had studied discernment for a semester, considering maybe becoming a Sister of Christ. And I knew something was missing. My whole life I've loved children. I loved babies. I'm a pro-life advocate. I love the unborn. And I knew there was something missing. Maybe this wasn't my calling, that God wanted me to be wife and mother. So I left the discernment. And then shortly after I had left college in 2006, I had officially fallen away from the faith. I think I abandoned God. I didn't blame God, never blamed God. It was all of my making. But I just kind of resigned myself to the fact that, you know, this was going to be my life and that I could never be forgiven. And why not just do what I want and just being selfish? And then continuing the relationship with this man, even after Ave Maria, I thought that maybe when I was in the discernment that I was using this as an escape. And that's not the reason to become a Sister of Christ. So then again, I felt unworthy. I didn't feel worthy to even consider something so holy. And eventually maybe just marrying this man and having children, and that would be my happiness. And that just continued for years on until the late 2009 when I met my husband.
Mm. So I want to back up a second here, because from your conversation and going to school in Florida, I think that you were thinking about becoming a nun. Is that correct?
Correct.
The Catholic religion?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I went to Catholic school a little while when I was a kid in elementary school, and I don't know. That's a tough role to play. So, do you think you went there to try to make up for what you thought you did wrong?
Attending Ave Maria.
Thinking about becoming a nun.
Yeah, I had a wonderful spiritual director who kind of took me under his wing down there. He was a wonderful priest, and he said that he saw a light inside of me that I was allowing other people to dim. So he thought, you know, have you ever considered finding yourself in a sister's, you know, habit? And I said, well, I thought about it when I was younger. You know, when you're a child, you're, you know, sisters and priests, and especially if you're, you know, raised in that environment. I went to Catholic school when I was younger. That was someone, sisters and priests were someone that I looked up to. So I said, yes, I've considered it. And he said, well, why don't you give it a try? You know, give it a try, give it an opportunity, maybe try to renew your relationship with Christ. And to be very honest with you, when I was in the discernment, I really felt like I belonged. I felt I was myself. I was away from him. My parents wanted me to get away from him. So Florida was, you know, the farthest that they could send me. Plus, I wanted to be in that environment. I wanted to have a classical education. I wanted to be around Catholicism, you know, wrapped around my education. So when I was in the discernment and I had under the direction of this priest, when I was in, you know, going through the motions and prayer life, you know, daily mass and you know, prayer readings and, you know, giving me a regimented schedule and keeping me laser focused, I did very, very well and I was very, very happy. But renewing conversation with this man, you know, towards the end of my stay at Ave Maria, I once again wasn't doing my due diligence, and I was not, you know, I knew I wanted to be mother and wife, but I wasn't completely focused on where it is that God was sending me. I was not completely in a close relationship the way that I should have been, and that's why I returned to this man. But there was a time, you know, Mr. Gambone, I did want to very much dedicate my life to the religious life, but then it didn't come to fruition. I really believed that one day I would be mother and wife, and I wanted it very much, and I knew it wasn't going to be with this man, but I was willing to settle, and that was probably the scariest things that I had really come to terms with as a young adult.
Mm. So do you now have a relationship with your parents again, with your family?
My relationship with my family is good, and some of my family's broken. You know, I don't like to really talk about it, but I, you know, with those that I don't have relationships with, I pray for daily, and I hope that one day we can renew. But there, I'm one of 11 children, so we're all very different people. I'm close to my faith. I love my faith dearly. I have relationships with some of my siblings, but not all of them. So one day I hope Christ will renew that, but we'll see.
So let me ask you some questions. Do you have daughters?
Sure. Oh, yes.
Okay,
I have,
go ahead.
I have three girls and two boys with another boy on the way.
Okay. Well, so you had mentioned that you weren't allowed to date until you're 18. Do you think that could have been a problem? I mean, I have, having daughters, maybe they shouldn't date until they're 40, but that's just a father's view of it, right? But as a mother, knowing what you went through, but knowing what you went through and now having your own children, your own daughters, how do you look at that? How do you tell another mother that has daughters? What is your advice for that?
Well, I attended St. Peter's of Alcantara on Long Island until the sixth grade. We moved out to Suffolk County, and my mother and father were not happy with the public school system. I was homeschooled from sixth grade to the 12th grade. And I was in youth group, and I had, other outside things that we were involved with. But the social aspect of dating, I tried it. I was allowed to group date at 16. I went to a junior prom with a gentleman that I had worked with. I was a cashier at a local supermarket. And I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't understand. I didn't know what kind of rapport I was supposed to have. I don't know if it was because I was, always, kind of not sheltered to an unhealthy point, but I was sheltered. So I didn't know how to adjust. So when I was 18 and I was ready to date this other guy, I kind of just was thrusted into it. I didn't have any kind of real understanding there was no readiness. I didn't have that ability. And I think my mom was torn in many different directions, 11 of us. My dad worked full-time. So it's not, I don't think it's, my parents' fault, but it was just a lot of decisions that I had made that I could have learned. I probably could have, maybe done a little bit better. For the advice I would give to other moms, looking at my girls, of course I don't want them to date. I want them to, I don't want them to be hurt. I don't want them to experience heartache. But I know, with my personal experience, I think that the social experience at a young age, at teenage years, is essential. I mean, it should be controlled. It should be monitored. And I think, when my girls get to that point, I'm going to be very involved with who they are and who their parents are and all of that. But I think it's healthy, because if they're going to explore life and find out what it is that their calling might be through Christ, the best way to do that is to rule it out and to get involved and make friends and men that, share beliefs as they do and so forth. I didn't do that. I had a very bad choice in young men at that time.
Well, from my own experience, I waited until I was 54 years old before I followed Christ. Now, I was kind of raised Catholic, kind of and kind of not. I went to Catholic school for a little while. I went to catechism classes. I went to church every, other week maybe. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is there's hope for all of us and the people out there that struggle with different things.
Sure.
There's always that. But unfortunately, we don't know what that feeling of faith is like until we go through like life-threatening things. So I want to bring up something that, and I think you're okay with talking this, but you had a drug problem for a while, and
Me?
You know,
not me.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I've never had a drug issue. No, my husband. Just a little bit of background. When I met my husband in 2009, I was still fallen from the faith. I had not had a relationship with God and Christ and so forth. So when I met my husband, I had just, for the most part, ended this relationship with this guy. And I had promised myself, I'm never dating again. I'm not going through this again. I'm never saying I love you again. I just had a very pessimistic view now of the opposite sex and dating and marriage and so forth. And again, this is because I didn't have a relationship with Christ. I wasn't able to really see correctly. When I met my husband in the late 2009, I was a full-time waitress, and he was a cab driver. He's a truck driver and a cab driver. My car broke down, and I called this cab company, and he was my cab driver, which I really feel is God placed him in my life at the right time. He was persistent. Every time I would call, he would be the driver. He wanted to pick me up, and we struck conversation, and we started to, get together. He took me on a wonderful first date, which I had never had before. I had never been taken out. Anytime I went out with the other guy, I always paid. There was no chivalry. There was no respect, nothing like that. So this was very new for me, and I clung to it very deeply. We went head first, the both of us. He wasn't close to his faith either. He's a baptized Catholic as well. And it was a few months after I became pregnant. It was when I became pregnant that I really started to feel the presence of God. I felt this life growing inside of me. And I knew, because of my love for the unborn, that maybe God had allowed this to occur because he knew that an unborn child might trigger me. This is what I really believe, that might trigger me to renew my relationship with him. And then I could really see straight and forward, and I knew that my obligation now wasn't just to myself, but it was to my unborn child. And he was very persistent and loving and caring and wanting to be a part of her life. We weren't sure if we were even called to be married, but I told him that a relationship with God was very important, and he was on board. And there were a lot of things about him I didn't know. It wasn't until it was our second year of marriage, I found out that he had a drug problem, which, again, was another challenge for me in testing my faith and, keeping my vows and making sure that this was something that God would want me to follow through on, because I really believe he was testing my abilities, and what my faith was going to, what kind of part was my faith going to play in all of this. And I love my husband because of it. He's 6.5 years clean, but he had a very long history of drug use. And to find that out, in our second year pregnant with our second child was very devastating and a true test of faith.
Wow. Yeah. You're a very strong person.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of history with that as well, because he – right before we were scheduled to be married, we had gone into Pre-Cana. He had asked me to marry him a couple of times, but I said no because I wanted to make sure that marrying me was not but because I was pregnant. And, as time went on, I could see his devotion and his dedication to her. And mind you, he had this problem, and I didn't know. And he was still very loving and dedicated. And I just clung to that. I felt like it was something very God-sent. A month prior to us getting married, we wanted to be married prior to her birth. He was in a terrible car accident. He was in a coma for 8 days. And during those 8 days, I have a beautiful painting of the Sacred Heart. And I remember praying, 8 months pregnant, begging for his life, because I felt so strongly connected to this man. And I knew that this was someone that God had sent to me. And I begged God, please, bring him back to me. I will dedicate my life to you. Please, please, please. And I felt very, very sorrowful and contrite for my past. And I promised God that I would make up for it if he could just give me Sean back and to give my baby's father back. And he woke up, and he was in the rehab facility trying to learn how to walk and so forth. He had a subdural hematoma, very serious injuries. It was going to be a long road ahead. And then I gave birth to my daughter 5 weeks early, and 10 days after that, we got married. So.
Great story. Great
story. It's been
a
journey.
Now, I know we talked about, when life's a journey, it's easier to look back down the road to see what was going on that we're blind to in the beginning. Unfortunately, well, maybe not unfortunately, it's probably best if we don't know what's going on so we can't mess it up. But moving forward, you have not written a book yet, and I know that we were talking pre-show, and you have so much information already that you blog and stuff, so you have a book in the makings. Do you think you'll come out with that book?
Oh yes. I've been working on it for a while, but with having children and, homeschooling, and my husband, he has a lot of injuries and doctor's appointments and therapy, and, I haven't really been able to give it my full attention. But it's going to be called Catholicism. It's Catholicism connected with autism, because I have two children that are diagnosed with autism and epilepsy. So what I do is I apply the teachings of the Catholic Church and the love of Christ to parents, focusing on the parents and how they can use their journey of faith and faith, hope, love, theological virtues, and apply that to the everyday life of parenting in with a child of autism or any kind of disability, to see that it's a gift from God to extract love. And it's going to be called Catholicism, Essential Teaching for the Parent of Autism. And that will definitely be coming out, Mr. Gambone, I promise. And it's something that it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress. And God has a plan, I know. But with my blog is my avenue. So that's where I share a lot of what I've learned and my experiences and the faith. And I apply that to parenting children on the spectrum.
And how can they find your blog?
I do some marketing. I have avenues through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I do a lot of marketing on Google Plus as well. I do have about 5,000 followers. I've tried to maintain a good following. I have over 500,000 hits on Google Plus, 55,000 plus hits on my blog. So it's like a lot of word of mouth. Recently, I was on EWTN. I was on At Home with Jim and Joy, and I was able to share my story on there, which was another blessing in God's path, and I did very well on there. So I got a lot of feedback and a lot of new followers from that. So it's an everyday progress. I just keep at it, keep working hard and getting people to understand and hear my story. And my main mission, Mr. Gambone, is to help parents. The stigma in today's society on children with autism is that it's this horrible thing that has to be survived, and it's a burden. I try to teach parents that no, you've been handpicked by God. Christ wants to very much be a part of your relationship with your children. And although there are so many things that our children may or may not be able to do in life, this could be an opportunity for him to really connect with us, to see the least of his, and to be able to see the glory of his love through all of the challenges that autism and parenting brings.
Well, I look forward to seeing that book, and don't hesitate to share some of your blogs with my Facebook page or the Tough Talk Radio Network, so we could help push it out so other people could see it too. Yeah, and unfortunately, we run out of time. Time goes so quickly on the show, Grace, and so what I like to make sure that I ask the one thing I want to make sure I ask every guest is, moving forward, knowing what you know, just in this year alone, okay, what's something out there that you can leave for the listeners, for those moms out there with babies on the way, or who homeschool, or who have children with autism? Can you leave something for them that might allow them to make it through their day?
Sure. I think that the number one thing is to remember that we're all children of God, and that our worth is seen through his eyes and not by our peers and not by society, not by this culture of death, and that every day is going to bring its own challenges. Don't put yourself down and assume that because of your mistakes and because of your terrible past and things that you have done, or times when you have rejected God and you've made your will first rather than his, it doesn't mean that he's forgotten you. It doesn't mean that there's no hope for you, that if you just keep going and renew your prayer life, it's never too late. Rely on Christ. Rely on His love. Keep your focus on His face and not those around you. That can really give you a new perspective of what it is that your calling might be and what your relationship with Him means for the rest of your life and for the world.
Good stuff. Very good stuff.
Thank
Chris.
You.
I'm excited. I'm excited to have you back on the show in the upcoming months. I hope that you'll stay connected with us, keep us updated, and allow us to help promote that book when it comes out.
Of course, Mr. Gambone, and I really appreciate you giving me your time and helping me share my mission. I really do appreciate it. God be with you.
Same to you and your family. We will talk soon. Folks, we're up against the clock, so I'm going to take a commercial break. I'm going to come back with my second guest, a young lady by the name of Melissa Hood, and she's a best-selling author and an Effie Award winner for her book, Memoirs, and she's a public speaker as well. And something else I'm reading here is that she's right around the corner from where I am in Houston. She's in Austin, Texas. So let's take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and talk with Melissa Hood.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. If you're just joining us, you missed the first interview with Grace Gibbons, and you can find these interviews on toughtalkchristianradio.com, or you can go to Tough Talk Radio Network Facebook page. They're out there, folks, so I hope you'll take the time to listen. My second guest, Melissa Hood, is a best-selling author and Effie Award winner for her book, Memoirs. She's a public speaker and will be attending a doctorate in 3 weeks, Educational Development and Transformational Leadership. And she also heads up a weekly prophetic talk show and has a second book on the way out. So I'm really excited here today to welcome Melissa to the show. Melissa, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing, Mr. Gambone? Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you being here. Please call me Tony. Everybody's calling me Mr. Gambone. I feel like I'm talking to my kids' friends. So, So Melissa, I noticed that you're in Austin, Texas, and I've done some things up in Austin with the Texas Authors Association up there, and I see that you have two books out and a weekly show. Are you part of the Texas Authors Network?
No, sir. Actually, I've spoken with them here and there, but I've never been an affiliate of them at all. But I'd be interested in doing so.
Yeah, you should check them out. They have a great program for people with books, and they put them out at book shows, and you don't even have to be there, and they promote your books. And
wow.
It's really, really a good opportunity if you're an author, especially out of Austin, because they do a lot of stuff there. And I spoke up there a couple years ago to them. So it's a really good opportunity. But anyway, Melissa, I didn't mean to steer off track. I want to talk about Melissa Hood. I know I said that you're in Austin. Is that where you're from originally?
Yes, sir. I was born and raised here. I live about 20 minutes outside of Austin now. It's Round Rock, Texas. And so I've been born and raised in the area. And every time I try to move away, God moves me back. So I guess I've got a mission here. So it's interesting. I've tried four times.
Well, there's a lot of work. Well, it's a that's a good thing, I think. You know, that's a great town. I love going to Austin. We have two adult sons, and we have a family business here. And we try to retreat up there every now and then just to hang out on Rainy Street downtown. But tell me, so you are an author, okay? How long ago did you write your first book?
I wrote my first book back in about 2014, and I didn't publish till 2016. It's actually the second round of publishing because I self-published the first time. And, pardon me, I got an opportunity to publish through a publisher in New York, and they loved the message. And so that was through Morgan James Publishing. So that, again, came out in 2016. And now I'm getting ready for my second book, which is called Fragmented. And hopefully that is going to be out later this year, but it can't come out fast enough for me because of the topic matter and how it affects people with learning conditions and PTSD and schizophrenia, et cetera. And so there's a lot of topic matter in it.
Mm. Okay, so tell me, it says that you're a speaker, and where do you speak, and what topics do you speak on?
Well, right now, actually, I also am in ministry, and I train up intercessors, and I help to do a prophetic podcast, as you mentioned, called Ezekiel's Wheel, every Friday night. And so we just do primarily talking about deep inner healing for people and how to take back the mind. It's a battle of the mind, as Joyce Meyer said. And so we become what we think. And the enemy loves it when he can put illusions in our mind about ourselves, or he can traumatize us to where we're broken, or we feel like we're so broken that we're not good enough for God to use, or we're not good enough to be utilized in any capacity. And so what I feel like my ministry calling is to help people like that, to point them down their pathway to ministry or to their destiny and help them attain healing along the way. So that's what we're hoping to attain.
Well, you know, it's funny. Satan is an evil person or an evil spirit or whatever we're going to label him, but he's very smart, you know, and between his creative creativity and our faithlessness, I guess that's the way to put it, he just slides in at every opportunity. So it's really important that people understand what you said about, you know, we do become what we think or say, and it's really important to have someone by us that maybe even tasers us every time we start speaking the wrong way or negative words. Just one word can turn a whole sentence around or a comment around to make it a bad thing. And I don't know that people understand how, and I'm on the top of the list with this, Melissa, but I don't know if people understand how important that really is.
It is. And, you know, but they say, too, perception is reality. And so we all operate through some type of perception, whether it's negative or positive, hopefully positive. But I always train and teach people, you know, that God has me ministering to. I always tell them, you know, your words matter. Your words matter because you believe what you say. And God believes what you say. We're all spirit beings. God's a spirit, the devil's a spirit, and you're a spirit. A body without a spirit is dead, even a church body. And so it's imperative that we know what spirit we're listening to and what spirit we're acting out on. And because we're going to speak the words out of who we believe the most. I mean, and like you said, the enemy's a great illusionist. He's a great deceptor. And so he's going to come in and tell you half-truths about yourself, half-truths or facts about your situations, when, in fact, the circumstances around us might be factual, but that's not the truth. The truth is what God's word says. And I had a mentor tell me one time, Missy, don't believe in everything you see because your eyes will fail you. Believe in what you don't see. That's the most powerful force on earth, which is love. And so when I start speaking what love says about me and who love says I am, that's when my walk takes off.
Now, I like that. So I want to repeat it. Don't believe what you see. Believe what you know. Did I get that right?
Don't believe what you see with your eyes, because your eyes will fail you. Because even though you may see things in the natural, the things of the unseen, the things of the spirit are more powerful than things in the natural. The things in the natural are fleshly based, but the things of the spirit are God based, or depending upon who you're listening to, they can be demonically based. And so the truth will always outweigh the facts. That's what it all boils down to. God is the way, the truth, and the life. And so the enemy presents us with facts about our situation, like a diagnosis or, hey, I don't have money in my pocket, or I don't have a job right now. And God says, ah, but I'm your provider. I provide for all of your needs according to my riches and glory through Christ. And so when I start speaking God's truth back to my facts, then it's manifesting, because God says, I watch over my word to perform it, that my angels hearken only unto my word, that my word goes out and accomplishes that which it seeks to accomplish and never returns back void. And God says, if I decree a thing, with Job 22:28-30, it will be established. So I can speak to my facts with the truth and cause the opposite to manifest of what I desire, what God in me desires it to become. So it's truth. Our perceptions are reality. And so who we perceive God is he... is he more powerful than the devil, or is the devil more powerful than him? It's all in who we believe.
And so when you speak this, okay, now some people say that you have to speak it out loud because only God knows what you're thinking. The devil only knows what he hears.
That's true.
So are you a believer of that?
I do in one respect. Well, actually, in a lot of respects, I believe that, because what you're doing is you're letting all of hell know who's God and who's not. That's what you're saying by speaking the word out loud and saying God's word, because God is the word. He's the way, the truth, and the life. God is. He said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So if I'm speaking God back to my spiritual atmosphere, I'm speaking, because he is the word, I'm speaking God into my spiritual atmosphere. And Jesus in me, Jesus lives in us, right? So Jesus
right.
is speaking through us, and he is that word. He's speaking the word. He's speaking himself back to God the Father in heaven, and God can't deny himself. So it's a win-win. It's 100% effective 100% of the time. And it's God's way of saying, hey, devil, look, all things are possible with God. And I'm the great creator. See, that's creative faith. That's the highest level of faith. That's what Jesus did when he walked the earth. He'd speak to the fig tree, and he commanded it to wither up and die. He'd speak to blind eyes and command them to see. So we're learning creative faith in the hour that we're walking in right now. And it's learning to walk in that highest authority. God told the disciples, when I leave, you'll do even greater things than I. So that's what we're learning how to do right now. So it's all about perception.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is. And so let me ask you a question, Melissa. When you're talking to people, how often do you see their eyes rolling before you see the light bulb come on?
Well, you know, I think for where I stand right now, I'm going to graduate in about 2 weeks, and so I'm having to deal with a lot of people in the secular arena and in the science arena. And so it's really – It's harder to speak to people in that arena because they're so heady. They get really head-based instead of heart-based. And it's really, really easy to speak to somebody who's heart-based because they're open and ready. I mean, they're like little hungry birds looking for the truth, as opposed to someone who's stuck in their head and stuck in head knowledge. And so I believe when I come into those atmospheres, you know, you kind of have to pound away at the hardness of heart first and the things of the spirit that harden the heart. But given too that God's given me a prophetic gift, I mean, no one can deny when God shows up on the scene, which he goes with me everywhere I go. He goes with you everywhere you go. And he starts showing me things about people that only God would know. And so that kind of eases that tension a little bit there. But yeah, I have to break through the same atmospheres as anybody else, but yes, sir.
Yeah, so it is, for me, I think the hardest thing is to remind myself that God is with me everywhere as I go, and nothing can mess with me because God is with me everywhere as I go. But then there's that emotional connection that I have with myself, I think. It's maybe it should only be with God, but we just seem to lean sometimes away from that process. And so I think that if you take your advice and bring him with you everywhere as you go and have the conversation with him before you have it with anyone else, that might be a way to stay connected to what God wants us to do, because I have found him to guide me, and I have found him to allow me to guide myself. Now, the results of the first one are always better than the second, you know what I mean, of me guiding myself. But how do you talk to someone and explain to them, you know, how to take those steps without overstepping yourself? I mean, that's complicated, don't you think?
It can be. If you're following the spirit and you're moving in the ebb and the flow, and let me encourage you if I can, please, sir. Before I got on the show, and I don't know why I didn't pray. And I always pray. I always pray about anything God has me doing. And I just got busy and forgot, to be honest with you. And so it's very, very interesting right now while I'm talking to you, and I've noticed it prevalently, how strong the spirit is on your show. And I was listening to Grace before me and listening to the Holy Spirit move through her and thinking, and I was thinking the whole last tidbit of her talk show, thinking, golly, God is here. God is here. And I think it all boils down to trust, honestly, because God says never will he leave us, don't forsake us. And so it's not, I heard the word, don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate your show. Don't underestimate the anointing that God has built. And so when you've been doing this, as long as you've been doing it through the Lord, I believe that that anointing covers us. Love covers, always. And so what it boils down to is trusting God, that to know that he's always with you. He's going to show up if we're connected and we're seeking. And it's really just allowing love to be who love is. And whenever love shows up, when you make people feel loved, when you show kindness, when you're unconditional in your interactions, love always is there. He's always there, and he'll make himself known. We don't have to make it happen. See, I think that's the key too, is so many people get so busy in trying to make God happen, and he already is. He's already there. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. It does, and I appreciate what you said about what you felt from the show, because as someone who does a weekly show, I stopped doing the show for almost 2 years, and maybe it was about a year and a half, but I had been doing shows for 8 years, and I just got caught up in life, I can't even explain it to you, but I'm always thinking, okay, am I supposed to be doing this? And to hear you say that you could feel the Holy Spirit on you or on the show allows me to know that I am doing the right thing, and there are people out there that can gain from this. And, you know, we both know that every time you want to learn something, you teach it, and every time you're preaching something, you're learning something. So it just comes right when God – when God gives us the words to say, it's because they're the words we're supposed to listen to, is what I think. And so for you to say that, just it overwhelmed me. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, I have more. I have more for you if you allow me. Can I tell you more?
Come on.
What I'm seeing real quick, because what I'm seeing over your life right now is you were standing at a crossroads and during that time period, and I see many different opportunities, many different roads in front of you. And the Lord said you kept looking at the sun, like it was a sunrise, and you kept looking at the sun, S-O-N, and you kept asking the Lord, Lord, I don't know which road to take, and I'm burned out, and I'm tired of things being the same. Am I making a difference? And I saw this one road light up with gold, and you knew in your heart, you're like, that is my road. It may look mundane. It may not be elevating or escalating the way I think, and the Lord said, that's when he said to you, son, he said, because you followed the sun, he goes, because you followed my heart, he goes, now the elevation has started. He goes, and you need to be watching out in the days ahead, because there are going to be doors that are going to be opening up to this show that are going to be propelling it forward, and it's going to be propelling it into places that you never thought it could, because you were faithful to continue down the right path. So saith the Lord.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
I went through some health issues years ago, about 2010, and I had just found the Lord, and a pastor, prophetic speaking over me, out of a crowd in the church, said that, you know, that I would be doing things on radio and universities in time to come. You know, and me being a wise guy, I said, well, I hope there's a good sign-on bonus type thing, you know what I mean? And I just laughed and went about my way. And as long as, like, life has gone on, that pops back up again. And for the second time someone has ever done that, which would be you, it's amazing. I can't even explain it, but I can tell you I'll be tuning in on Friday nights to listen to your show.
Come on. We'd love to have you. It's on Ezekiel's Wheel.
Yeah.
And you're on my Facebook page, actually. People can follow me. I'm hard to find, actually, because I have two Facebook pages, and one's an author business page, but you're on my personal page, and so that's where you find it, is it Missy Hood on Facebook Live. And so if you can't find me there, people can find me at tameyourbraino.com, which is my YouTube page, or on Periscope, which is at lowercase at Missy underscore Hood. And so, yeah, come on. We'd love to have it, because the prophetic lights it up, and God shows up, and it shows people what's going on in the news and the natural, and then we show people what's going on in the news by the Spirit, and then we get into prophetic if God leads. We do whatever the Holy Spirit leads, and so it is all Spirit-led. So, yeah, come on.
Yeah, I will be tuning in. I promise you that. But let's talk about, because time goes fast here, Missy. You know that from having your own show. I want to talk about your book, okay? And
yeah.
And I'm reading things where, you know, and people can go to your website, and they can find at missyhood.com. And the first thing it says is that your mission, you have lost 40 jobs in 15 years due to ADHD conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that not everyone's going to admit to it, but since they invented the cell phone, there's more ADHD than ever, because no one can focus on anything but that thing in their hand. But so when you figured that out, okay, what made you put it in a book?
I actually wrote the book for inner healing. It sounds crazy, but I did not write that book for anybody else but myself to obtain healing. And then I started writing it, and I noticed that God was showing up every time I'd sit down. And when I got through with the book is when I realized, I thought, wow, you didn't do this just for me. You did this for many, because the message was so – it was for anybody, really. And I knew at that point, too, that I probably wasn't the only person that had gone through difficulties like that. Everybody's cross is different. Everybody bears a cross. And so I wrote it, you know, and I realized, too, I wanted to help people. I've always wanted to help people. And that was hopefully going to be a tool to do that. And so that was the reason for it. I mean, I didn't intend on winning awards or anything like that for it, but it's definitely taken kind of a pathway of its own. But yes, sir.
Yeah. It's totally a bridge to the Lord. Being able to put out information to others, whether it's by words, out of your mouth, or out of a radio show, out of a Facebook Live, or a book. If you have the courage to do it, because a lot of people won't do things because they feel as though, I'll use myself as an example. I've written three books. The first book was a compilation book, and then I wrote my own life story. And, you know, I used to laugh and say, I don't even barely know how to read properly. Has nothing to do with it. What it all has to do is, if you can be transparent and write down how your journey has been in your life, you will be able to look back and thank God for the blessings that He's put on you, and it'll allow you to jump out of the puddle that you've been living in. So I just think myself that everyone should put it in writing. When I was a kid, only women kept a journal. I think everybody should write down something, whether it's on a napkin or not, just to remember that day, what happened that minute, and put it in a drawer so that when they pass, their family, their children can learn more about them than they would ever learn, because we don't tell our kids that kind of stuff. So I think that's the legacy right there. But anyway, that's a whole nother show. So it really is. Now, your second book, Fragmented, okay, Tell us a little bit about that and when it's coming out.
I'm hoping to get it out later this year, hopefully in August. But it's pretty – it talks about the complicatedness and about the devil's attacks and how the devil attacks our minds, which hinder and contribute to a lot of the ADHD, autism, PTSD, and the worst case is schizophrenia, because the deeper the fragmentation, which is caused by trauma, the deeper it can take you into these types of conditions. And so what happens in fragmentation is when the enemy comes at us with deep hurts and he sets you up for the big crescendo, which can shatter the mind, it can shatter the soul, it can shatter the heart, and then all we're left with are these pieces and trying to put our lives back together again. And so what happens to the ADHD person or the person struggling in the deeper areas of fragmentation, and this is where I bring in science too, because this is true. If you've never seen Maslow's hierarchy of needs, he's got five different levels that we have to work through in order to meet and hit destiny, which is first is our physiological needs, which are air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, reproduction, safety needs, personal security, et cetera, et cetera. Love and belonging is the next level. Self-esteem is the fourth level, and then destiny is the fifth level. Now, alongside of that, it parallels with Maslow's hierarchy of needs is Erickson's eight stages of psychological development. Now, where people get stuck in cycles of trauma, which hinder advancement, are when the enemy hits us with trauma during the eight stages of development, okay? Because when you get hurt or stuck in a deep hurt, you get stuck at the age that you were traumatized at. So if I got, say, sexually abused at 8 years old, then until I deal with that root issue, I'm going to deal with life through the perception. Perception is reality. Remember, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. I'm going to be stuck dealing with life at the age that I was traumatized at until God gets me healed or unstuck. And that releases my spirit man to move through Maslow's five hierarchy of needs, hence allowing my mind to mature and come out of fragmentation. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, I took a course one weekend in a life coaching course, I guess maybe it was a workshop, but we perceive things as children and blame the people that we thought we perceived something from, which might not have ever been actually the truth, but we hung on to that and we used that to stunt our growth through the rest of our lives. So it's real important to sort of pull that book off the shelf, open it up, and reanalyze it and let it go. You know, I mean, just let it go and give it to God. Let him have it, because evidently you can't carry it properly, so just move on. And I totally agree with what you're saying. You know, I really do. You know,
it's interesting to me how people get stuck and they blame people when we have to remember again that God's a spirit, man's a spirit, and the devil's a spirit. And the devil operates through people just like God operates through people. So when you're able to realize how the enemy has used someone else's weaknesses against you, or against me, am I better able to forgive that person and think, okay, they're just not healed in that area yet, that's why they did that. And I'm able to move on and let God deal with them, or, you know, move on, period, and just reconcile the relationship if God so chooses. But, yeah, those are the biggest hindrances. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. So and I apologize because I want to talk to you for at least two more hours. And excuse me, I'm coming to Austin in June, so I might look you up for coffee when I'm there. But we've got about 60 seconds. What I'd love for you to do is give my listeners something that they need to take with them and at least chew on it for a little while to see if it's for them or if they already feel like they got it under control.
You know, I really, really think the biggest part to inner healing is our ability to recognize when we're in denial about something instead of fighting and bucking God. God told Paul, he said, hey, Paul, or Saul, he was Saul first. He said, Saul, why are you kicking at the pricks? Why are you hurting my people? It's the same with us when we're trying to maneuver down a road and God stops us and blinds us with our own shortcomings, so to speak. And so people wonder why they're not blessed, or they wonder why they're not moving into destiny. When God says, hey, I'm no respecter of persons. What I do for one, I do for all. But we all die for a lack of wisdom and understanding. And so a lot of people are dying because of a lack of love. Well, God is love. And so when we don't have more love or more of God's spirit housed in our own vessel, usually means we're operating out of our own spirit, or we're open to the enemy's spirit to operate, which hinders us from blessing. And so we need to allow God to reconcile these areas, to heal these areas, and to set us free. And so I want to challenge people to do that today.
I love it. Well, Melissa, I surely am excited to, one, meet you in person, two, read your book, and three, have you back on the show. So please don't hesitate to let us help you promote your second book or anything else that you're doing, especially if you come into the Houston area. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on the show today. And the words that you spoke in our show really helped lift me up to where I needed to be in that moment. So God does some crazy things with some crazy people, but I'm just blessed to have you on our show today, along with Grace Gibbons. And I just want to say thank you to both you ladies.
God bless you too, sir, and I've enjoyed myself. So thank you for having me. You have a blessed day, okay?
My pleasure. You too. Thank you. Folks, we're up against the clock. I don't have time or the right words to say except thank you from the bottom of my heart to Grace Gibbons for sharing her testimony and Melissa Hood. And make sure to tune in on Friday nights to prophetic talk show Ezekiel's Wheel, okay? And go to her Facebook page. You can find it, or go to her website, missyhood.com. That's our show today, folks. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.